May 19th at 5 p.m. Additionally, they will have a summer camp for ages 5 to 14 from June 18th to July 25th. If anyone would like to enroll, please speak to a volunteer for the registration form. Due to the amount of waste we create and its impact on our environment, we encourage you all to bring your own cups for water and tea every day this month. Additionally, we have been wasting a lot of food every day, so please only take what you need and take the rest home. If you would like to discuss a private matter with Sheikh Hamza, he is now hosting office hours at Al-Wilaya every Monday to Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration is now underway for our annual summer camp in Big Bear this year. The camp will be from July 19th to the 21st. Registration is $125 per person and is accessible on MuslimCongress.org. If you would like to sponsor an iftar, you can sign up on the sheet posted in the back. Sponsorship slots are now open for the month of Ramadan. Please recite a Fatiha for the Shuhada of Islam and the Marhumin of tonight's sponsors. Abbas, please come up for your announcement.
As I see some new faces, I'm going to repeat yesterday's announcement. We have two things that we need to raise funds for. One is for the monthly expenses for this month, which is about $10,000. I know you have helped us in the previous years as well, and we're hoping that inshallah this year you will donate generously towards this cause as well. The second thing is about the building fund. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, we have about $70,000, $65,000 that we have raised towards the building fund. We do need about another $140,000, $150,000 to inshallah put down the down payment on the building we have already seen. Inshallah, we'll be showing you the pictures for it. We encourage all of you to please donate as much as you can in this month. And may Allah reward you for all that you're doing, inshallah. With that, I would like to invite Hujjat Islam, Sheikh Hamza Sadagar to come up and address the gathering. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقيت الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. One of the lines that we have in our du'as in this month has to do with the future of our communities or our community of believers worldwide. Recite salawat, please. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the coming of the Imam of our time, one of the previous nights we addressed this part of the dua, but from another angle, another perspective. And that was the remembrance of the 12th Imam, reminding ourselves or remembering the 12th Imam this blessed month. That was one aspect of this dua. There's another aspect of it, especially when you look at Dua al-Iftitah, which is a nightly recurring dua that we do. It's It's one of the recommended du'as for every night. The lines we have there include not only asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our imam, to give him victory, to grant him an upper hand against his enemies or the enemies of Islam. We do ask that, and that itself is related to what I'm talking about, but for many of us it is something that we can't really see how that is connected to my vision of the future, a practical vision. In other words, a vision that I work towards. But some of the lines are pretty clear. For example, we have a line where we say, O Allah, make us من الدعاة إلى الحق. In the government of the 12th Imam, we want to be involved. We don't want the Imam just to come and some people run the show and then we're just watching. Not because we have this ego that wants us to be involved and to have position in the government of the 12th Imam. Al-'Iyadhu Billah, God forbid, we at any point want that. But to be closer to the Imam means being involved in his project, being involved in his work. So we have these lines that talk about that, not just in Dua al-Fitah. We find them in other supplications or ziyarats as well. For example, ziyarat Jama'a Kabira that I mentioned last night. We have a good portion of the ziyarah that we ask to be part of that. To be part of when the imam comes and establishes the government, for us to actually be part of that. We want that. Okay, we ask for that. What I'm suggesting for us to look at these as is not to look at them as a dream of the future that we ask God to make come true. When you think of it as a dream, that means my mind, my thought process on a daily basis, on a regular basis, if anything, it just dreams about how it will happen on its own. If I constantly think about it, I think about it like that. We dream about things. Right? We could be at work, doing serious work, and then we're dreaming about our mansion or whatever. There's no way on earth I would have this mansion in, I don't know, wherever it is, in Beverly Hills or whatever other location, Newport Beach, some of these very expensive places or locations. No way on earth I'm going to have that. I dream about it, and different cars and so on and so forth. Are you doing anything about it? No. Can you do anything about it? No. The way we commonly look at the concept of the coming of our imam is to view it at best, if we discuss it, if we talk about it, if we think about it, if we make du'as for it, it's like a dream of the future. Oh, it's going to be like, and then people get really excited to start asking questions. So is it going to be bloody or is it not? Are these ahadith true or not? Is this person going to come first and then that person? All of this conversation has to do about this mystery of how things are going to unfold. And as much as we talk about, oh look, guys, brothers, sisters, it's near, you know, all the signs are telling us it's near, that just makes us more interested and excited about talking about these things. Guessing and then trying to put together All right, so I thought we weren't supposed to put a time to it, but we are putting a time to it. Are we not? None of that has anything practical to do with us. That's what I mean by looking at it as a dream. Something that's going to happen. What I understand from these du'as being there, and du'a in general doesn't mean, okay, God, you know, I'm not going to do anything about it. We had this one, you know, on another separate topic, on a different topic. It's the same idea. That's why I'm saying generally with du'a. Du'a doesn't mean I sit here and say, God, I'm not going to do this. You do it for me. That's not what du'a means. It means I'm trying, I'm doing whatever you've given me. You wanted me to do this. I'm moving towards it. I'm hitting obstacles. I have a tough time doing it. Please help me. That's what du'a means. When we're doing istighfar, that was the topic we mentioned this in the context of. When we say, God, help me better myself, correct myself, overcome my problems. That means I'm giving it everything I have that you have given me, of course, but I'm putting everything you've given me into doing this. I'm still falling short. Please help me. Doesn't mean I'm sitting back like, I want to commit this, that, the other sin. God, forgive me and make me, you know, help me. And while I'm thinking about Him helping me or asking Him, I'm thinking about the next sin I want to commit. That's not what that means. That's not what that du'a is. So when we are told to pray for these things specifically, we're mentioned, these things are mentioned in du'a, it means we are supposed to develop a want, a desire towards a vision that's been described to us. Once you develop that want and that desire, and you realize you're responsible for making that happen, you start thinking about how you can get to that vision while you're asking Allah to help you. You are moving in that direction. Use that mentality, that understanding of du'a. When you're looking at any du'a, but specifically all of the du'as related to the coming of our imam that are just all over the various du'as and supplications that we have in this month and outside of the month. One of the ones that I feel gives us a better image of that vision, better understanding, more details, is du'a nudba. Right? It's good, we cry when we read du'a nudba, which we should, and we should read that du'a. There are lines that we are addressing the imam. Various lines we have there. And there are some lines that we ask, where is he? Ayna. Okay, it starts with Ayna al-Hasan wa Ayna al-Husayn, but then it gets to Ayna baqiyatullah. And then from that point onwards, we're asking where the imam is. But when you look at that, you're not just repeating, where is the imam? There's certain descriptions that have been given. أَيْنَ مُعِزُّ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَمُذِلُّ الْأَعْدَاءِ. أَيْنَ قَاصِمُ شَوْكَةِ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. And various lines, we can go over many of them. The ones I could remember, I mentioned, there's many more I can't think of right now, the Arabic. But there's various lines that these are descriptions of the imam, what he will do. Okay. When you read that, when we read that, when we ask for it, the words that have been put there are to create that as a vision for us in the future that we work towards. That is a dream that we ask for. I'm like, okay, I'm doing my thing. God, you make that happen. The next point related to that, which is, I believe, even more important, is The reason why these du'as are there and this vision is given to us, for each of us to create that desire and that want within us to do this, is that the community of believers together collectively start thinking about this, seeing it as their vision, and moving towards it together. That will bring about revolution on a global scale. Just picture, just think about the numbers of the believers you have worldwide. Seriously. And if all these believers are united in their thought, in their understanding, in their vision for the future, and they realize they all need to move in that direction, that will be your critical mass that will move the whole world towards a global revolution, which is the revolution of the Imam. See, it's very practical, and it's very... The reason why this is not happening is because we're not there. Okay. If you look at revolution in a country, we have experienced revolutions. We have experienced half-successful revolutions or partially successful revolutions in the last decade. There were a few revolutions. If you look at them, there were some success. Eventually, they fell through. And we have a successful revolution that we can look back at, the Islamic Revolution in Iran. How did that happen? There were a small few initially, and then the numbers grew. That created the critical mass. It wasn't 100% of the people coming on the street. Eventually, towards the end, yes, it was almost 100% of people on the streets. But it didn't start like that. And when it picked up momentum, it wasn't like that a year before the revolution. Study it. It helps you. It helps us. This is what a revolution looks like. The movement of the Imam of our time will be a revolution. It is not somebody coming in like a coup, just saying with his sword, just swinging it around and cutting off heads and establishing his government. That's not what his system is like. That could have happened many years ago. Amir al-Mu'mineen could have done that if he wanted to. The reason why that's not happening is that's not what the movement's like. It's got to be a people's movement. It's got to be a revolution. People have to be involved with that. How can we move towards that? This is the path. These du'as help us, lead us in that direction. Every time you read it, try to develop that in your mind, in your heart, as something that shows you what you're supposed to be like, what society is supposed to look like, what your community is supposed to look like in the future. And you see we're not there, so that means we need to move in that direction. In that direction, not just in a different direction from what we have. What we're looking to develop is what our du'as suggest. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us develop that as a vision and move towards it together in this community of believers and the community of believers worldwide, inshallah. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, protect all of the maraja and our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. Oh Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. There are those who are suffering from illnesses, from hardships, difficulties, oppressions. We ask Allah by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He grants all of us and all believers worldwide our needs, our requests, our hajat. Relieve all the believers who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allah.